What did Jesus do on Maundy Thursday? Last Supper? Wash the disciples' feet? Pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? Yes, he did all of those things, but none of them seem to give us any clue as to why we call today Maundy Thursday. It's an odd word, isn't it? Maundy Thursday. That's a little bit like Monday. Is it Monday Thursday? If you're from the north, you know, Mardi is if you're a bit cross or upset with someone. Is it sort of because you're a bit cross or upset with someone Thursday? What is it? Is it Supper Thursday? Is it Feet Thursday? Is it Prayer Thursday? All those would make sense, wouldn't they? But Maundy Thursday, that just sounds odd. Sounds weird. Let's cast our minds back to what happened this Thursday in Jerusalem. Luke tells us that Jesus sent Peter and John ahead into the city. They were to be met by a man carrying a jar of water who would lead them to a house where there was an upper room where they could make preparations for the Passover. Of course, it was a day early for the Passover to be celebrated. But Jesus knew that he would have been crucified by the time the festival would normally have been celebrated. And the Passover was normally a family affair as well, with women and children present. And yet this seems to be something slightly different, a sort of a variation on a theme, with only the 12 closest disciples of Jesus present. But before anything can happen, those present need to be ready for the meal, really. The streets in ancient Jerusalem, as I think I've mentioned before, are dusty, filthy, covered with dirt as well as animal and human excrement. And people wore open sandals in those days. Now, we might be quite keen to encourage one another to wash our hands before we sit down to a meal. But 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, it was necessary and important for feet to be washed. Because people were reclining at the table, literally lying down. Someone else's feet would be pretty close to you while you were eating. But at what we call the Last Supper, no one does it. No one wants the job. Everyone pretends not to notice, hopes that someone else will do it. And of course, nobody does. John tells us that the meal was actually in progress, with everyone's filthy, stinking feet in everyone else's faces. When Jesus got up and took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around him, poured water into a basin, and began to wash the feet of his disciples, much to their shamefaced objections in the beginning. John doesn't tell us, but it's probably after this. So I'm just going to tweak this down a fraction because it's feeding back, isn't it? Slightly. Hang on. Hopefully that's a bit better. That's good. It's always the fear you're going to tweak it slightly and then it's going to howl even worse than it did. There you go. John doesn't tell us, but it's probably after this that Jesus takes the bread and breaks it and says, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he takes the cup of wine and declares, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." But does this help us to understand why today is called Maundy Thursday? No. But then again, yes. At first, we still might be struggling to make connections to understand what this word Maundy means. When I was in a different parish, long, long ago, I once received a letter of complaint from a lady who lived in the parish, but who didn't come to our church. She went to a different church. We'd put the notice board posters up for Easter, and she was complaining that we were holding a Maundy Thursday service because nobody knows what a Maundy Thursday service is. Nobody knows what Maundy Thursday is. So let me tell you. Basically, Maundy derives from the Latin word mandatum. There you go. We're all sorted now. Well, you see, it's not too bad. We might talk about having a mandate, mightn't we? Meaning having an instruction with authority from someone or somewhere. And mandatum actually literally means command. And it comes from the Latin translation of John chapter 13, 34. Mandatum nobum de vobis. I give you a new command. Today is Command Thursday. And what is this command from Jesus? A new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Maundy Thursday is about hearing and doing. It's about loving as Jesus loved us. Now, this is often sort of translated into simply a sort of once a year service where a few feet get washed by someone else in the church. There's nothing wrong with that. But seeing as it appears to have only really been introduced on a large scale in the 1950s, it's a little odd in the 21st century Cambridgeshire. It's a little culturally alien to us, and it can mean that we miss the point. So here's the point, or here's rather three brief points. Point number one, Jesus was the humble king. Remember, we saw this on Sunday when we were thinking about the entry into Jerusalem by Jesus on a donkey. Here, the following Thursday, was a room of 12 men. Some were used to occupations where their hands got very messy, very dirty, very smelly. It's kind of hard to gut fish and remain untouched by the whole process. So it wasn't alien to them, was it? But actually none of them had any excuse for not taking on the role of foot washer in chief. The only reason that none of them wanted to do it was that none of them wanted to serve the others. Jesus shows us what it means to love one another with a love that is not proud and not self-seeking. He's the one who takes the nature of a servant and washes the feet of his friends. And even his enemy too, because Judas is still there. And as a servant, Jesus also humbly submits to the cross. As he breaks bread and as he pours wine, he demonstrates that he's fully aware of what the coming hours hold as he loves the world with such self-sacrificing passion. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, faced by the true horror of what awaits, Jesus prays, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours." He humbly obeys his Father's will. He's not forced to, he's not coerced to, he is the humble king. Second, we're then to imitate Jesus in his love for us as we love one another. I think when Jesus says, you know, to imitate him, he doesn't just mean wash someone's feet once a year. I think he means to imitate his love, his sacrificial love. We are to love one another, friends and enemies alike. Jesus' instruction was clear. A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. We're to look at Jesus and be humble in our love for one another too. During the royal procession for the royal Maundy service, small bunches of flowers are carried, apparently, and they were originally to cover up the smell of the feet. If you're going to wash feet, you know, some of them will be a little bit stinky. That service began in 1210 at Knaresborough Castle. King John was on the throne at that time, and not only did he feed 1,000 people that day, he also gave some of the men a girdle, a knife, some breeches, and he washed their feet too. Now, although the monarch hasn't washed feet for centuries, the posies remain. But if we're to wash feet whilst making a big deal out of the smell of them, we wouldn't be imitating Christ. The gospel writers don't record that Jesus washed the feet of the disciples and kind of was holding his nose at the same time, or retching, or, you know, just making comments about how bad they smelled. He just did it. Humbly. So as we daily love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we should do so humbly and sacrificially too. The pattern that Jesus gave us was getting our hands dirty and being poured out even to death. We don't have to mimic those exactly by washing feet and being crucified, but we are supposed to follow that pattern and his love. And here's the third point. Today's not about giving the world the opportunity to ask, who are those people with a weird foot fetish? Jesus said, "By this everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." Other organisations, other groups, other companies, other people, they might be driven by targets and profits and envy and rivalry and 101 different other things. But the Church of Christ is driven by love. Love for God and love for one another. That's as new and radical today as it was 2,000 years ago. To be a disparate group of men and women and children all held together by our love of God and love of one another is revolutionary. How will the world know that we're disciples of Jesus? Because we all have fish badges on the back of our cars? Because we go to church? No, because we love one another as Jesus loves us. You see, if today was foot washing Thursday or prayer Thursday or even supper Thursday, we could do all those things once and we could tick the box, feel good about ourselves, and we could move on. But like having a sweet smelling bouquet of flowers under our nose, we'd be able to distance ourselves from the nitty gritty and reality of discipleship. In contrast, we're reminded today that Jesus gave us a new command, a command that's ongoing, a command that's for all his disciples to obey, to love one another as he loved us, and so to witness to the world. Today is Maundy Thursday, Command Thursday, and commands are meant to be obeyed. Because Jesus tells us in chapter 15, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Amen.